A very good evening and welcome along once again to The Score, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a close look at what is happening in the sporting world across the Northwest and beyond. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and we have a busy show lined up as always. So coming up later this hour, it's a massive weekend on the GAA front with both Donegal and Tyrone getting up and running in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. So we'll be looking ahead to the action with our GAA analyst and former Donegal selector, Brennan Kilcoyne. We'll also be joined by former Finharps captain Keith Cowan, who is going to look ahead to Finharps and Derry City's games in the League of Ireland this week. But we're going to begin tonight with motorsport, and you may have heard earlier that former World Rally Championship driver Chris Meek has confirmed to Highland Radio Sport that he will compete in the Donegal International Rally next month. The County Tyrone native will race in a Toyota Yaris Rally 2, and he'll have Liam Regan on board as his navigator for the event, which starts on the 3rd Friday of June. Chris is in the county this week as part of the test being run by the Toyota Gazoo Racing team as they continue to develop their Rally 2 car for their Irish customer base. Liam Regan has experience of Donegal both driving and navigating and competed last year with former World Junior Champion William Creighton. So Highland's Oisin Kelly has been out and about and he spoke with Chris Meek at the conclusion of the Toyota test earlier on today.
Chris Meek, delighted to get speaking to you. Delighted to have you back in Donegal. We're here as part of the Toyota Gazoo Racing test on the Yaris Rally 2. You've been here for a couple of days. Tell us what the experience has been like.
It's been good, actually. To be honest, everyone knows my wife, Danielle Duddy, from Legend Mark Award. I travel this road up past through Glenfinn. I think I've done a million kilometres up and down this road. And here we are, just in over the hedge, testing my Toyota World Rally team. So it's nice to be in home turf. As you know, it's a long time since I've done a rally in Ireland. Yes, I've done the Killarney Historics last year in the M3, but I think, by my recollection, I think the last time I done a rally in Ireland was 2008 Donegal, which is 18 years ago.
A long time ago.
It used to be only my old man spoke about things happened 18, 20 years ago, but now here I am myself. But delighted to be back on this part of the world. And like everything, we're getting the mix of the weather. It always happens here in Donegal. You never know what way the weather's going to come, and it's been great for us. We've ran a day in the dry and then another day in the wet. So really happy to be back.
Because all this information is key, obviously, to the customer base of Toyota, the Rally 2 guys, and the information that you're giving these guys behind us here and the truck, it's a gold to us.
It is, it's invaluable. You know, I done a lot of test work with Skoda back to the new Skoda Rally 2. So I tested with them for 4 years, and Skoda, sort of their home base is Czech Republic, where the tarmac is quite bumpy, narrow, potholy, not different than you get in the roads you have here in Donegal. And so their cars, we know, works in that condition. And Toyota have sort of concentrated on the WRC Rally 2 scene, and the most of the tarmac rallies in the World Championship are smooth tarmac, you know, billiard table European roads. So we did want to come here, and the objective for Toyota was to develop the car on this type of road. You know, Donegal roads are unique. You're going through bog roads, the roads are sinking right and left, it's not always even. I think over the last couple of days we definitely have made steps. They came here, there's a team of 30 men here, 11 engineers on laptops looking at every bit of data and stuff, and it's what I've done for years, and it's just brilliant for me to be able to do it in home soil. And I think we've made good steps with the car, you know.
Alexa, young Eamon Kelly here, and we've also got Joe Kelly. This is hugely valuable to them as well, and having this experience of being part of this over the last couple of days is immense for them. You were that guy one time.
I was a young guy too, and looking for my opportunities. And you know, for these guys to get a run here with us, you know, with a huge team here and the engineering support, and it gives them a lot of confidence, you know, to be able to be asked to come to do it, and it'll bring them on, you know. And it's fantastic for these guys to come along. And at the end of the day, this Yaris Rally 2's Toyota's customer car. For it's the only car allowed to run in national championships around the world. The Rally 1's are solely for the World Championship. So Toyota have to prepare this car not just for a Sebastian Ogier or a Cali Rovanpera. They have to develop this car that it works for everybody across the board. So this is what they do on tests like this. They bring in the local drivers from the region, and they get them to do a few kilometres, and you know, hopefully get used to the car more.
You've been competing in Portugal over the last couple of years, in a Toyota. My next question is going to be, will you be in a Toyota come the third week of June? Is the Donegal International Rally 2026 going to see Chris Meek competing?
Yes. I think we have something over the line. We have a deal over the line to be there in a Toyota Rally 2. The deal was in place last year through Declan Boyle, McCafferty's Pubs. You know, Declan's relation to mine.
Yeah.
Well, I know why you call a brother-in-law, but his wife and my wife are sisters. So Declan was keen for me to do it, and he was always at me, come on, we'll try and put things together. So last year we had it in place, and unfortunately Brian Hoy was going to sit with me, and he had the bad accident with Gary Jennings. And they weren't in great shape for a couple of weeks, and that same weekend unfortunately the guy Di Roberts was killed in their Jim Clark Rally in Scotland. And I phoned around a few other co-drivers as a replacement, and nobody was willing to go, just with with the rawness of the moment. And I just got a bad feeling, and I pulled the plug on it. And I think I'd done the right thing. I'm a bit older and wiser now, and when you get that gut feeling, you need to stand back, because motorsport, no matter how much experience you have, it's a dangerous game, but that's the excitement in it. So yeah, a year's passed, and I think we're going to get the package together, and I think we'll be there in the start line at Donegal.
Okay, who's going to be alongside you?
Liam Regan. Liam Regan sits normally with William Crichton, so Liam's actually driven Donegal Rally himself in his wee historic Skoda, and he co-drove William last year. William was getting on quite well. I think he got Callum Devine down to 4 seconds on the Saturday before he punctured. So yeah, Liam's got recent experience, plus he's driven it. And for me, I like to go with someone who knows the area, knows the terrain, because as you know, and everybody knows, I don't so much, but these roads are unique, and there's patches of shiny tar, there's a hidden stone and a grass verge, and you need somebody with a bit of experience. You can't pick it all up on a recce, so I need somebody to be able to say, watch this place, watch that place. So yeah, Liam's going to be in the notes. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So confirmation that Chris Meek is going to be here. You've been testing this Rally Irish for the last 2 days, and I'm sure that's invaluable when it's going to come to the third week of June.
It's unique the way it's worked out. I never thought the Toyota World Rally Team would be here in Donegal testing a rally car, and to do it now 3-4 weeks out from Donegal Rally, when it'll be my first proper rally in Ireland in 18 years. So it's invaluable kilometres for me. I think we have improved the car in this type of terrain. We've had all the conditions here. We've had bone dry, we've had sun shining yesterday, it's guttery and wet today. So yeah, it's been invaluable for me, and really good preparation for the rally.
Are you going to be here to win?
I never put the helmet on unless there's a chance of winning. So I think people know me by now for sure. Look, I don't underestimate it. Callum Devine has been, he's been solid as a rock and winning everything. His pace has been incredible. And look, I've been around the world and went to do national rallies. And, guys who spend their lifetime in their home country doing the rallies year in, year out, the knowledge base they build up is incredible. And there's probably bits of stages they're working off muscle memory, or I'll have to explore it for the first time. So I'm under no illusions. These guys on their home terrain are incredibly quick. We've seen the big battle last year when we had Hayden Padden, a guy I know well from the World Championship, and he struggled a bit with the pace, so I'm under no illusions. For sure, the objective is to try to win, but look, Callum's an incredible driver. All the other guys, I don't know all, the entry list is not published, so I don't know who's all doing it, but for sure it's going to be a huge challenge, but that's what excites me about it. I'm an old dog now, but I still love a challenge. Yeah.
What about the challenges? What sort of stages are you looking forward to? There's a couple of big ones that you know Donegal well. It's like you were here with your dad, so you were when you were a young cub, and now you're going to compete in it. What are the stages that you're looking forward to most?
Well, this is the thing, the roads, the stages of Donegal go in roads you would never ever be on. My wife was obviously originated from Letcher MacAward. I've travelled this road from Dungannon to Letcher. I think I've done 1 million kilometres up and down the road, like I said earlier. So,
yeah.
And I know the country well. I know the county well. But I haven't never been on these roads. I don't know. So, but they offer a very unique challenge. When you're on bog roads, like I said, it's unexpected bumps at high speed that you can't necessarily see when you're doing a recce. And that's where hopefully my experience of making pace notes over the years will help. But still, I don't underestimate it. It's going to be a huge challenge. There's going to be corners with gravel pulled out. We all know the weather. It can throw anything at us. So, it's going to take every ounce of my ability to be even challenge. But that's what I like. I like a challenge.
Did you get up Knockalla? Did you manage to get as far as Knockalla last time?
I think there's still a wee video on YouTube. a real fuzzy one from Charlie McCookin Microcam back in the day, off me and the Renault Clio Super 1600. So, I remember bits and pieces. Actually, this bit of road we're on today up here in the back of Glenfinn, this was a stage in that rally in 2008. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
probably the Friday, yeah.
Aye, on the Friday. But the rally was cancelled that year, obviously. Elfin Evans, unfortunately, touched a spectator, and that's one thing I want to say. Spectators in this rally are incredible. It's one of the biggest events in Ireland, but please, everybody, keep their place in the right place. You never know the speeds these cars are doing nowadays. One wheel out of line, it can travel half a mile down a field. You know, you're not safe, where people think you're safe. So, but still, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a big challenge. It's a 3-day rally. It's like a world championship rally. It's near 300 kilometers. So, yeah, in that respect, it's a long time since I done you know, world championship rally. So, looking forward to the challenge.
That is former World Rally Championship driver Chris Meek in conversation with our own Oisin Kelly. Very interesting stuff in the world of rallying, and definitely looking forward to seeing how Chris Meek gets on at the Donegal International Rally next month. We're going to take a break here on the programme. Keith Cowan is on the line and he will be joining us for our weekly soccer chat after these. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Score. Finn Harps and Derry City both have home fixtures in the League of Ireland this week. In the First Division, Finn Harps welcome Longford Town to Finn Park and will be aiming to get back to winning ways following a disappointing 3-0 defeat at bottom side Treaty United last week. With Kevin McHugh's side currently in 8th, there is an opportunity to leapfrog tomorrow's opponents into 7th in the league table with a win. Derry City's turbulent season in the Premier Division has continued in recent weeks. The Candy Stripes are now winless in their last 4 games and needed a late equaliser to spare their blushes against Waterford last Friday. Derry play 2nd place St Patrick's Athletic at Celtic Park tomorrow evening and then are also at home on Monday to Shelburne. So joining us on the show this evening for a chat about all of the above is former Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, you're welcome back onto the show. How are things?
Thanks, Mark. All's good. Yeah, thanks for having me back.
So we'll get on to the League of Ireland stuff in a minute, but firstly, congratulations is in order. Letterkenny Rovers, you've won the Brian McCormick Cup last Sunday, a big one over Kilmacrennan. Keith, I know you picked up an injury in the lead up to it and would have been disappointed not to play, but the lads got the job done anyway.
They did indeed, and look, I suppose injuries are all part of football, so can't be too disappointed. Like when the guys were able to go on ahead and win the cup again for the second year in a row. So the game, I suppose, didn't really reflect the scoreline as such. You know, Kilmacrennan, put it up to us, especially in the second half, and we're getting good joy. Especially down the middle of the field and that, and you know, be able to step out of the back. So a few maybe harsh words at halftime and a bit of finger pointing and stuff like that never does any harm, and we're able to get the job done in the second half.
It's been another brilliant season, a league and cup double, and a brilliant way to head into the National League now in August. So what will the summer look like for Letterkenny Rovers? It's a full steam ahead for this new competition in August. I seen yesterday that it was announced you'll be in a group with Mayo FC, Salt Hill, St Francis and TU Dublin. It's going to be an exciting couple of months now to get ready for that.
It is, yeah. Look, I suppose kind of the hard work starts now, really. We were kind of putting a lot of our focus into the league there, so in terms of how much part of it I have to play from here on in, is I'm not really sure yet. But look, the club really have to focus now maybe on recruitment first of all. Obviously the fixtures are out now, give us a clear indication of, you know, where we have to travel to. And so it's about now, you know, making sure that you're keeping hold of maybe everything or most of what you had from last season, and then maybe adding a few bits of quality here and there. So I think recruitment is going to be huge over the summer. And then obviously, you know, you got to focus on pre-season then, and, you know, getting the group that is already there, getting them prepared and, focus towards opening fixtures.
And the format was kind of released yesterday, 3 groups of 5. You have been split up from Bonagie and Coghill. Was that something that you expected within the club, or were you surprised to see that you have been split up from those 2 teams?
Well, I suppose, it was going to be one or the other in terms of, you know, you have to get the feeling for, the whole experience of the League of Ireland, which, you know, we all know is like travel and, making your way around the country. So I suppose maybe asking teams to go beyond Dublin would have been a bit of a stretch. You can see why maybe Bonagie and Coghill were paired together. But, you know, like a trip to Mayo, a couple of trips to Dublin and a trip to Galway will, you know, lend the experience to the group. And I'm sure there'll be some of the lads that are there that have had that experience already, and that'll count a lot moving forward.
Staying local for the time being, Bunnigy United themselves, they have a big game this Sunday. They're at home to Rathkeel of Limerick in the FAI Junior Cup Round 2. It's sure to be a great atmosphere at the Dry Arch.
It will, yeah. You know, they'll look to pack out the Dry Arch Park this weekend, and, you know, they'll be wanting a big home support and a big Donegal support at that as well. So, yeah, I suppose Rathkeel, you know, they got through their last round against Killarney Celtic, which are one of the teams that have joined this third tier. So they got through that game 2-1, and we know Bunnigy went to Clonmel and got a 2-0 victory. Bunnigy have huge experience, and with, you know, with a couple of League of Ireland players in there, obviously Gareth Harkin, Tommy Monaghan that we know of, and a few others as well that have, you know, I suppose, wet their lips and or dipped their toe into the League of Ireland or, you know, similar competition. So a lot will depend on, you know, those players. Are they all fit? Are they all available? It's a great experience too for, you know, for Bunnigy to maybe go a couple of steps further in this competition, which will then, you know, stand them in good stead when it comes to the third tier next year.
Yeah, it sure would. Bunnigy are also in a good place at the minute. They'll be in Cock Hills Group, as we mentioned, for that National League. They're alongside Home Farm, Lucan United and Mervew United. And they've a new manager coming in for that National League as well in Declan Lynch. What do you think Lynch will bring to the fold at Dry Arch Park, Keith?
Well, he's played for Bunnigy on a couple of occasions himself, two different stints at the club. So, you know, he'll have a fair feel for the club. He'll know what he's gone into. He'll know, you know, a lot of the people around the club, and they will know him, which, you know, is a good way to start. He'll have that experience. I think he's worked with Derry under 20s. He's worked with Allian in the Shone League, and I think he's been involved in the Glentoran Academy up in the Irish League as well. So, you know, having that experience, and, you know, knowing young players on both sides of the border, you know, that can be, you know, really positive aspect when you're going into this third tier, because like I said at the start, their recruitment's going to be huge. I know Bunnigy have already recruited a few players out of Donegal League in January time when the transfer window opened there. So, you know, they've already maybe got a head start maybe on other clubs in that respect. But yeah, look, Declan, as I say, you know, experienced man in around football, and, you know, someone that the club knows well, and that he knows, you know, his surroundings. So it's looking like they'll be ready to go. And again, you're talking about teams within their group. You're looking at Home Farm there, Mervew, you know, clubs that have already maybe had experience in the league, and the League of Ireland or in the first division. So yeah, look, it's going to be an interesting, start for these teams. And, you know, it's only going to improve football within Donegal.
Yes, so let's talk League of Ireland this week. We'll get on to Derry in the Premier League in a minute, but let's start with Finn Harps at home to Longford tomorrow night. But that was a really disappointing result last Friday night away to Treaty United, 3-0. What do you put that result down to, Keith?
It's difficult to say. You know, they would have had maybe high hopes going down there, you know, to pick up something. It's, you know, been a happy enough hunting ground for Harps in the past, going down to Treaty. But I think, you know, Kevin sort of summed it up when he said it was just like a bad night, a really bad night at the office. You know, you get those nights at times when just things don't go well for you. You know, the home team really just have a spring in their step, and, you know, there's very little that you can do about it. Obviously this weekend, you know, it's another opportunity for Harps to pick up 3 points. You know, Longford just that one position above them in the league. And just 1 point separates the two of them. So they'll see this as an opportunity. Harps' home form has been, you know, pretty good. You know, they've picked up big results against good sides in the league. And it's just the old adage, really, isn't it? It's, you know, Harps are struggling to score goals. And, you know, you look at where their goals are coming from. Conor Tourish on 3 goals and Joel Bradley-Walsh on 2. You know, they're your 2 top goal scorers playing at centre back, and, you know, that's a problem. You know, and look, I know it's a problem that Kevin will be working really hard to try and rectify. But going into this weekend, look, they'll just want to get back to winning ways, and, you know, hopefully a positive result for them.
And, you know, there was defeat last week, but Finn Harps actually won away at Longford in the previous game earlier this season. So something like that this week will be playing in their mind, and that'll surely help the confidence going into tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, I think it might have been a Joe Bradley-Walsh penalty down there that got them a 1-0 win. And look, as I say, Harps Home Farm has been good, you know, two wins in the last two home games. So look, they'll be thinking, look, let's get back to Fun Park. Let's get the crowd in behind us. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get a positive one.
Before we move on, if you were just to take a wee look at the bigger picture with Harps at the minute, it's 4 wins from 16, sitting 8th in the table, could go 7th tomorrow night with a win. But with a couple of games until the mid-season break, how would you assess maybe the first half of the season? And if Harps are to build a bit of momentum and get themselves in the mix for a playoff spot at the end of the year, what's going to have to happen over the next few weeks for them?
I suppose, look, you know, you're looking at Fun Park and you're looking at the ground and that. And look, I know it's the same for both teams when they go there. I don't want to be harping on, I suppose, about the state of the pitch and that there, but it just looked so difficult to play on. The last night there, I was watching the game and it just seemed like Harps mightn't be overly blessed with the kind of that physical, I suppose, prowess of player that they might have had over the, you know, most successful periods that they've had maybe in the last 10 years or so. So you really need to sort of cut your cloth to suit what you have. And Harps have, you know, really technical players there at the moment, very good players that are good footballers. So they need to look at maybe improving the surface to try and help that. It's a minor thing, but I think, you know, you sort of have to cut your cloth, as they say. You're looking at a positive spin now going into the break. I'm not sure will Kevin be overly happy with the recruits that he's got in the off season. I'm sure he will have one eye on that transfer window as well, trying to see what he can bring in and maybe who he can get rid of as well.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it happens, and we'll have live updates from tomorrow night's game against Longford at Finn Park with Jim O'Doherty. He'll be there from the 7:45 kickoff. Elsewhere, leaders Cork City go to Athlone. UCD are away to Wexford. It's Cove Ramblers travelling to Limerick. That's a Munster derby, and Kerry host Bray Wanderers. Now we'll move on to matters in the top flight. Keith, after a couple of good wins a few weeks ago over Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers, Derry City, they haven't won a game now in 4, and the table still doesn't really make great reading if you're a Derry fan.
It doesn't, Mark. Now, when you're kind of closer to the bottom than you are at the top, it's not really where Derry probably would have saw themselves, or any of us would have saw them, going into the opening game of the season. Yeah, sitting in, you know, sixth place, I think 11 points maybe the difference between themselves and Pats, who are the visitors this weekend. Look, again, it was kind of looking good there, as you mentioned a few weeks ago. You know, you're beating, you're going to Shells and getting a result. You beat the champions at home 1-0, and it just kind of, you know, you're thinking, right, have they got that consistency, which is the hardest thing in the game to try and get. That's what Tiernan Lynch is dying to try and get for this squad, for this group of players. And then, you know, it's sort of, you know, you're struggling then away to the bottom side, you know, last minute goals to try and salvage points. That's going to be the frustrating part, and that's going to be the hard part for fans and for, you know, I think probably the hierarchy as well to come to terms with now. Like, you're looking at this week or this weekend as being, you know, it's looking like it's going to be pretty big in terms of how the club maybe moves forward. You've got Pats on Friday night, and then you've got, I think, maybe Shells a couple of days later.
Yeah.
So there's two huge home games, and you know, you're going to have to be thinking that maximum points is going to be, or thereabouts, is going to be a must if maybe Tiernan Lynch is to continue as a manager.
Yeah, I was going to get onto that online this week. There have been grumblings from a number of ex-players, shall we say, including maybe a suggestion that Tiernan Lynch is kind of disrespecting the loyal fan base by labelling criticism as outside noise. From your point of view, Derry supporters, they do have a right to be concerned with the direction the club is going at the moment.
I suppose that's the direction of the club in terms of maybe how it is in the table. Like, you know, you're looking at the outside of it, and, you know, in terms of, you know, what they're doing, the type of players that they're signing in, it's all quite, well, some of that's quite positive. Most of the moves that they have made in the transfer window, you couldn't really, you know, be too critical of them. Mm-hmm. A few, you might think, I'm not really sure about that. But in terms of, you know, moving to the new pitch, that's going to be done now, hopefully sooner rather than later. And, you know, that's all quite positive. But I suppose in terms of, you know, what has what have they got for their investment so far? Yeah, there is a cause to be concerned there. Is Ciarán Lynch the right fit for Derry, for that group of players? Again, you know, it's not looking like it is at the moment. You never like to be critical over someone's, you know, someone's job and someone's position, because I do believe that Ciarán Lynch is doing everything within his power, and I'm sure he's had sleepless nights, and I'm sure he's, you know, like putting his whole self into this project. You know, he's had huge success in the Irish League, but just, you know, the move to Derry with such a huge club, and you know, you are really under the microscope, and every week is such a massive. It's such a massive part of, you know, Derry, and I suppose, you know, the idea of them moving the club kind of out of the city to have their training base in Dungiven is something that has been critical, and sort of, you know, I suppose they would have been round the Brandywell day in, day out in terms of their training, in terms of their preparation. So that kind of connect is maybe lost between, you know, the fans and the players as well. So, look, I think it's going to be, as we mentioned, it's going to be a difficult rebuild for him to try and maybe regain some of the, I suppose, to get some of the fans back on side and back on board. But look, you know, fans and supporters were a fickle bunch, and you know, 3 points against Pats would go towards that, and then another 3 against Shells would definitely relieve the pressure for him.
That's it. So tomorrow night, St. Pat's at Celtic Park. I know it's a difficult game to call. As we said earlier, Derry have this knack to be able to dig out results when they've been under the cosh. Well, where do you see it going? Can Ciarán Lynch get himself 3 points to relieve the pressure a wee bit?
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, again, you look at the, you know, the last time there they were able to pick up, or sorry, not the last time there, but that big win against Shamrock Rovers when they were really under pressure was one. But you know, Pats look like a really good side this season, and you know, like they're second in the league for a reason because of their consistency. So you know, it's not to sit in the fence, but I think a point there could for Derry would be a good result.
Yeah, so in other Premier Division games tomorrow night, Galway host Bowes, Shelburne are at home to Waterford, later Shamrock Rovers welcome Sligo Rovers to Talla, and it's the Louth Derby. Keith, I can't let you go without speaking about that, your old club Drogheda up against neighbours Dundalk. Did you play in any of those Louth Derbies, and what's the atmosphere like between those two clubs?
I did indeed play in a few of those derbies, and you know, they are actually electric, I must say now. Both groups of fans, you know, really really get behind them. They're so vocal, and like I must say now, obviously being on the Drogheda side, I suppose when you look at the two teams and where they were when I was there, you know, Dundalk had maybe, you know, had huge success and were maybe just starting to peter off a bit, and then Drogheda were kind of the new up and coming a bit, and yeah, look, some of those games were absolutely fantastic, and you know, we got a couple of positive results there as well. But yeah, the Drogheda fan base is just, they're superb. Like, they do really get behind their team, and you know, when you're on that side, it's great. But you know, I must say, you know, there was a few evenings where they did give it to the Dundalk players and stuff, and it was great to see, obviously, from my point of view, being a Drogheda player, but they definitely didn't hold back.
So you'll go for a Drogs one tomorrow night?
Well, you know what? It's going to be like, there's so much out of this fixture already in terms of what happened the last time in Dundalk with, you know, with the fireworks and the pitch afterwards. And, you know, that's going to stir up a bit more of emotion and a bit of, you know, dislike between the two groups of supporters, which, you know, there didn't need to be anyway. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. Dundalk are struggling a bit with injuries. You know, they picked up a couple of knocks there on Monday night. Two centre halves, Andy Quinn and Conor Keeley, which Conor's been immense again this season, you know. So that's two big losses that they limped off in that 2-1 defeat to Waterford. Mark Doyle, who's been scoring goals for them, and you know, his second stint at the club has been really good. So look, I'm hoping that maybe those lads will, you know, recover the thought of the Derby game, and you know, hopefully they might add a wee bit of extra adrenaline, might get them through the game. We'll just have to see. But yeah, look, it's going to be a fantastic occasion. It's going to be a tight game. Dundalk, who, you know, had a great start, you know, and sort of gone through a wee sticky patch, but then again, they'll have gained a bit of confidence last week after beating Shamrock Rovers 1-0. So look, it's finally poised. It's going to be a great occasion. Hopefully, there will be fireworks, I'm sure. Might make any difference to Drogheda's pitch, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on this weekend.
Good stuff, Keith. Thank you very much, as always, for joining us. We'll chat to you again soon. Enjoy the football at the weekend and take care of that injury.
I will. Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
No bother. Chat soon.
Good luck.
That is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. It's time for a quick break. We'll be looking ahead to the start of the All-Ireland series with Brendan Kilcoyne when we come back. Welcome back to the final part of tonight's Score programme, and it is Gaelic Games we end with, and Kerry and Donegal will renew their rivalry this Saturday in Killarney when the consensus two best teams in the country meet in round one of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Jack O'Connor's team come into the game as slight favourites this weekend. Home advantage, Munster champions, All-Ireland champions. Donegal, meanwhile, travel south, having suffered a shock 6-point defeat to Down at the quarter-final stage of Ulster in Letterkenny last month. So joining me in studio this evening for a GA chat is our Gaelic Games analyst, Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, it is the first weekend of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. That always brings a sense of excitement.
Certainly does, Mark, yeah. Big game for Donegal followers all the way down to scenic Killarney for the weekend. It's an unusual, novel pairing, I have to say. So, yeah, we're all looking forward to go down to that. And, of course, there's other games too. There's a, you know, Roscommon Tyrone promised to be a clinker, and then you've Galway Kildare, Cork Meath. So, exciting games ahead, exciting weekend ahead, Mark.
For sure. We'll touch on all those games you mentioned in just a second. But we'll start with the big one, Kerry against Donegal. And certainly one to look forward to, Brendan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, listen, they've been two of the top ranked teams in the country over the last 12, 18 months. So they have. And, you know, rightly so. You go back to last year's All-Ireland final. Donegal were reeling after that. So they were, you know, didn't really perform on the day. And, you know, it was disappointment around the county. And we went on then through a league campaign that was very successful in general, so it was, and huge performance then in the league final against Kerry, and, you know, came out on top by, I think it was 13 points in the end. So it's, you know, it's a huge game for both counties. Kerry, of course, coming on the back of winning their Munster Championship against Cork a couple of weeks ago. Donegal somewhat still reeling from a disappointing defeat out in O'Donnell Park against Down, and hugely surprising defeat. Not many people saw that coming. So it's going to be an interesting game. So there's a huge amount at stake. And when these two teams go at it, it's normally fire.
They're no strangers to each other, as you mentioned. This will actually be, what, the fourth time now in 12 months that the sides will have met. There'll be no secrets come Saturday afternoon, and the two teams will know full well what the other are trying to do.
They will indeed, Mark. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of familiarity there, so because they have met already. This is their third time meeting this season, so they have. And of course, last year you go back to the All-Ireland final. But, you know, there is a lot of familiarity there with each other. So there is, I suppose, the one question is player availability for this weekend. There's a uncertainty on both camps in that respect. Kerry, you know, seemed to have a few injury issues, as Donegal were coming out of Donegal camp, maybe that they have a few issues too. So it'll be, we won't know, I suppose, until maybe 5-3 on Saturday what the eventual lineups will be. And I think that could have a big bearing on the game. But yeah, both teams know each other really, really well, so they do. And you have two very adept managements, you know, in charge of both teams that will have studied the opposition in great detail. So promise to be an intriguing encounter, Mark. Really looking forward to it. And, you know, it's really hard to know which way it's going to go. And I suppose that factor that I mentioned already of player availability is going to have a huge bearing.
And it'll be very interesting to see how Donegal bounce back from that shock defeat in Letterkenny. We were there that day, things seemed a wee bit flat. Obviously going out of Ulster was a real blow, but do you think in the past few weeks Jim McGuinness and the management team will be using the break to try to use it as an advantage heading into the All-Ireland series, that they've had a few weeks of real work on the training pitch to get ready for whatever's next?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think they'd have to avail of that. You know, it wasn't in the script, I'd say, for the year, Mark, from the point of view. We know that Jim is, you know, very keen on Ulster titles, and, you know, it was a disappointing performance, as you mentioned, out in the park that day. They just never seemed to get to the pitch of the game. And I think you have to give Down huge credit for that. They came with their homework done and basically outplayed Donegal on the day. But I think Donegal will have learned a lot from it. And, you know, the fact that they had, I think it's 5 weeks since that game to get ready for this, 3 weeks they kind of knew that it was going to be Kerry down in Killarney. So they will have a big focus on that and probably took a few days off maybe to recuperate after the Ulster Championship exit. But, you know, the few weeks that they would have had to work is something they wouldn't have got if they were still in an Ulster Championship. And it's something that has been discussed, you know, down through the years about how the run in an Ulster Championship and how difficult Ulster is to come out of, how it affects, you know, latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. So it's going to be interesting to see how that transpires and, you know, what plans they've put in place and what work they've got done over the last few weeks. And of course, you know, you had a couple of players just coming back in. You know, Kieran Moore, Shane O'Donnell wouldn't have had a lot of game time going into that Down Ulster Championship clash, and they'll have a bit more work done on their legs and on fitness and that coming back. So that's a positive, and, you know, you're just hoping that everything is good there, so yeah.
That's from a Donegal point of view. With regards to Kerry, Munster champions, they pretty much swept Cork aside a couple of weeks ago. They just upped the levels when they needed to. Can we read anything into what happened in the National League final in Croke Park, or is this now a Kerry team that will inevitably come into their own at this time of the year?
Oh yeah, listen, you can read an awful lot into it. You can read that, you know, Donegal, you know, changed up a fair bit from the All-Ireland final last year from the point of view, you know, if you go back to last year's All-Ireland final, they struggled on kickouts. I think they won 7 or 8 of Kerry's 15 kickouts in the first half of the National League final, so they dominated that area. So they did in the All-Ireland final. I think Kerry kicked 5 pointers to Donegal's 1 2-pointer, whereas that nearly reversed roles. It was 4-1, I think, in the National League final. Things like that will certainly have a big bearing on it. And I'm sure, you know, Kerry will have learned a lot in that respect too from the league final following on from that, and they'll be ready to go at this hammer and tongs, so they will on Saturday. You know, Donegal were very effective throughout the league. They had a 5-man wall around the middle of the park with Keelan McGonigal, Huey McFadden, Michael Murphy, Michael Langan and Jason McGee. So the availability and fitness of the 5 of them or 3 or 4 of them is obviously going to be crucial. So it is, because we've seen how important kickouts are, you know, and the possession from kickouts, both on your own kickout and opposition kickouts. And, you know, it's an area that Donegal really looked good on this year. So they did, until Owen Murdoch dominated them really out in the park that day. So I'm sure that's something that, you know, will be hugely from both camps, you know, that they'll be concentrating on from both camps. Along with that too, you know, if you go back to the All-Ireland final last year, Paddy Clifford was afforded an awful lot of room, so he was around and pulled the strings for Kerry. Obviously he wasn't playing in the league final, but Donegal seemed to go, you know, push out more on them, put more pressure on them in them areas and force turnovers and got a couple of goals from turnovers, even though Michael Murphy's turnover was higher up the field. You know, they seemed to be more at it. But Kerry would, you know, I suppose your concern from that, Mark, would be that Kerry will have learned an awful lot from that too, from the league final. And they, you know, having played Donegal twice already this year and suffered 2 defeats from them, you know, they're a proud footballing county. They're going to come with everything on Saturday. So they are in their home backyard. They're a partisan crowd. They're going to really come at Donegal, you would fear. So I expect Donegal to be right at the pitch of the game too. And, you know, it's just going to be leather and thongs. So it is, you know.
Yeah, it should be a good one. With these two meeting at this stage, you touched on it earlier that they're, you know, the general consensus, the two best teams in the country. Obviously, Donegal had their blip, but I mean, one swallow doesn't make a summer, and Donegal are still up there with the best teams. A defeat either way means there'll be another chance no matter what, in the way the format is. Is this draw, Kerry and Donegal in the first round, is that actually worse for the other teams in the championship? Because a defeat in round one will mean that you might either run into Donegal or Kerry in round two. And I don't think any team would fancy a must win in round two against either Donegal or Kerry.
Yeah, but I don't think other teams will be looking at that stage. I think they'll be focusing on the games that they have at the present. Likewise with Donegal and Kerry, it'll be just total focus on this weekend. And as you say then, Mark, you don't know what's going to transpire out of that, what the draw is going to throw up. It could throw up some really crucial clashes, so it does. And, you know, the loser on Saturday only has one chance left after that. So yeah, if you're drawn away from home against an Armagh or, you know, Tyrone or something like that, you're going to have another huge clash. So you are. So both teams won't look beyond Saturday, I'm sure of that. Both teams will want to win that game on Saturday. From the point of view, it'll shorten the route to the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. So it's massive.
So if you were to call it, Kerry are officially slight favourites. What kind of game do you think it'll be, and can Donegal come out on top?
Yeah, listen, and it comes back to, I think it really comes back to player availability. Both teams, as I said, you know, have injuries in that respect. You look at Kerry, Joe Connor has been missing, Paddy Clifford, their goalkeeper Shane Ryan hasn't played, Brino Baglach, Tom Sullivan, brilliant cornerback, you know, fantastic footballer, hasn't been there. Paul Gainey hasn't played much. They've had players missing. Where they're at in the recovery will have a big impact on what Kerry team puts out in the field. Like guys at Donegal, you know, Michael Langan is such a crucial player to this Donegal team. And, you know, that was reflected against Down too. They didn't really have a 2-point threat until later on in the game. I think Jason and Pather kicked a couple, but it was very late in the game, so it was. And Donegal were very reliant on their inside forward line against Down for scores. Michael Murphy, Oisin Gallen, Conor O'Donnell were the only kind of players that scored. And if you go back through the league, Mark, you had 10 or 12, you were looking at the score sheet every day and you had 10 or 12 different Donegal scores. So Donegal will be looking to get a better return across the field, as they have been doing throughout the league. Really hard one to call, so it is. If Donegal's big five are available, or even four of that five are available, I give them a really, really good chance. If there's a problem with maybe a couple of them players, I would be concerned.
Good stuff. Well, you'll be a part of our commentary team on Saturday afternoon along with Brendan Devaney and Oisin Kelly. Also on Saturday, Cork play Meath and it is Galway up against Kildare. Can you pick the bones out of those games for us, Brendan? Who do you fancy to maybe go into round two with a win under the belts from those two games?
Yeah, you look at the Cork Meath, you know, huge traditional rivalry there going back to the late 80s. Was a lot of them games, you know, huge clashes back in them days. Meath travelling down to Cork would be hugely disappointed with their Leinster Championship performance. You know, they just never got to the pitch of the game. And it's an opportunity for them, after getting to an All-Ireland semi-final last year and performing really well, to get there. Going down to Cork, team that just didn't, you know, really perform. They played in bits, so they did against Kerry in the Munster final, but never really, you know, showed enough, so they didn't. And I feel that Meath will maybe just have a bit too much for Cork in Cork.
And on Sunday, Tyrone are away to Connacht champions Roscommon. With the current lie of land, that's a really, really tough game for Tyrone.
Yeah, that's a massive, massive game. So it is, you know, Roscommon are in such a high and played such brilliant football. They discounted for Mayo handsomely in a Connacht semi-final, absolutely beat them out the gate. And then, you know, a real test in the Hyde a couple of weeks ago against Galway. Answered all the questions, you know, with 10 minutes to go, it looked like only one winner, Galway leading by 6 points on the front foot. But Roscommon showed huge character, and there's a huge buzz around Roscommon now at the minute. And if they can replicate that form, if they can repeat that form again, so they can, it's going to be a huge test for Tyrone. So it is Tyrone, for them, for their own part, you know, they've been out of action, I think, for 5 or 6 weeks, so they have at this stage, so they have since they went out of the Ulster Championship to Armagh. So, you know, where they're at, they played okay in spots against Armagh. That, you know, Kilpatrick was huge in the middle of the field. They've such talent. You see the under 20 players that they're bringing through in another under 20 and All Ireland final. But going down to Roscommon, where the crowd is going to pack the place out, so it is, and Roscommon are going to have huge support. Based on the what you knows, Roscommon would have to be going into that game as favourite. It's going to take a huge Tyrone performance to come away with anything. But we know Tyrone have the quality of footballer to do it. Have Roscommon got the consistency, I suppose, to maybe be able to put a few of these brilliant performances back to back is the big question mark.
That's the one. Finally, Brendan, when I have you here, what did you make of last weekend's Ulster final? Armagh got the job done eventually after extra time. Deserved winners of the Provincial Championship in the end-up?
Yeah, I think, you know, you couldn't begrudge Armagh that. You know, Monaghan put in a huge, huge effort coming back from the dead, basically, and to nearly sneak it in full-time. But like, Armagh have been thereabouts so often over the last number of years, and you know, you couldn't begrudge them their victory in Ulster. It was thoroughly deserved. They just had too much legs. You know, I think Monaghan expended so much energy clawing back the deficit that was there to get back on level terms and force it to extra time, that they just didn't have anything left in their legs for that extra time. And Armagh just had too much class and too much in the legs in extra time, and deservedly came away with an Ulster Championship to add to their All-Ireland from a couple of years ago. And they're going to be a big factor in where Sam Maguire ends up, you'd think, this year too.
I was going to say that just finally. McGeaney, he's a laid-back character, isn't he? He didn't get too excited about the Ulster one. He's cool as a breeze. What chances would you give Armagh of going deep into this All-Ireland series, their first games against Derry next weekend?
Oh, I think they're right up there, you know, Mark, based on what you've seen and what we've seen of them over the last number of years. They won't have been totally enamoured with their performance, all their performance last week, but that gives them a lot to work on, so it does. And, you know, Derry disappointingly went out of the Ulster Championship. What have they? Have they got a big kick left in them? But they have to travel up to the Athletic Grounds, and you know it's a huge, tough, and a huge task and assignment for them to do that. So it is. So you would think Armagh just are on in a good place at the moment. Their bench looks really strong. They just look to be, you know, they can replace players if players get injured or if they're not playing well. They have them options off the bench, so they have, and they look to be going really well at the moment. And I think they're going to have a huge say in the destination of Sam Maguire come later on in the year.
Brendan Kilcoyne, thanks very much for popping up to speak to us on The Score this evening. Enjoy the game of the weekend. We'll be hearing from you over the weekend anyway, okay?
Thanks, Mark.
That's Brendan Kilcoyne, and as I mentioned, Brendan will be part of our big match commentary team on Saturday alongside Brendan Devaney and Oisin Kelly. Throw-in is at 3 o'clock. Tyrone's clash with Roscommon at Dr. Hyde Park that we had a chat about is at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. A bit of Donegal interest in the Tailteann Cup on Sunday. Declan Bunners from Manna play Wexford in Enniskillen, and Sligo, who have Eamon McGee in their management setup, go to Waterford. Both of those games are at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And after last weekend's comeback win over Monaghan, the Donegal Miners will look to book their spot in the Ulster final. Carol Lacey's side are away to Derry at Owen Beg from 2 o'clock on Saturday, and we will have live updates from that game with Michael McMullen. The other semi-final will take place between Tyrone and Cavan in Oma. That game is at the earlier time of 12 noon. The Donegal Masters are back in action this weekend, having defeated Cavan in round 1. They now take on Antrim at Foreglen. That is at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And Sunday is a busy day at club level here in Donegal. There's a full round of games across Divisions 1, 2 and 3. And there's one Division 1 fixture down for a decision tomorrow night. Glenswilly can go top with a win at home to neighbours Glenfinn. And finally, there are four games in the Donegal Senior Hurling League tomorrow night. Unbeaten tabletopper St Union's place at Sean McCool's. Cairn Donagh host Inishowen rivals Buncrana. Bottomside Aroa Ballyshannon are at home to Satanta, and second place Burt travel to face Dunlow. That is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and you want to have a listen back to it, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com very shortly, or of course also over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday between 7 and 8. I'm Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much as always for listening. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I'll be chatting to you all again very soon. Take care.